This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
My name is Sheila White. I am the president and co-founder of Her Cries Are Heard, an organization that focuses on preventing violence against females. One in three women have been victims of physical abuse or violence by an intimate partner or non-partner within their lifetime. 94% of women killed by men were murdered by someone they knew. Violence can affect a woman's physical and mental health and also negatively affect her children. In 1991, my sister was murdered by her husband, and in 2013, my niece was murdered by a man who followed her home from a party. Being a victim of violence is devastating to the victim and the victim's family. Help us to help you. Help us to prevent this from happening to you or someone you love. Please look at our website, www.hercriesareheard.org. for the prevention tools and referrals to help save lives.
We'll be right back after these messages.
Autism affects 1 in 68 children, sweeping all racial, ethnic, and socioeconomic groups. Autism is a lifelong brain disorder that leads to untold challenges to the physical, financial, and social well-being of people with autism and their families. Resources are stretched thin. The Autism Alliance of Michigan, a collective voice for families across the entire state, uses resources to help families battle challenges right here, right now. If you or anyone you know needs help navigating the autism journey, contact the Autism Alliance of Michigan today, 877-463-AAOM, or visit them online at aaomi.org.
We're back with Let's Talk About It with Jenny White.
Stay here.
South is a user experience design and development shop located in Philadelphia. We have over 12 years of experience in the visual communication field with a long list of satisfied customers. We provide innovative solutions for existing and emerging platforms. Got a plan? Let our team of talented professionals help bring it to life. You can reach us at 215-701-3934. You can visit our website, www.57south.com. We look forward to kickstarting your next project. Thank you. Have a great day.
This is Dr. Joanne Dixon, pastor of the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church at 2234 North Front Street here in Philadelphia. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday school and at 11 a.m. for morning worship. Prayer and Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can follow us on Facebook or dial 267-314-5220. We are a loving church and a learning church, which make us a growing church. God bless you.
Just Jemene is a natural line of luxury creams and lotions. From our creamy shea to our thick frappe and our therapeutic body butter, we have eliminated the petroleum, the alcohol, and the water, and use natural oils and raw shea butter. Our products are made for the hair and the body naturally. For more information, visit us at www.justjamene.com or call us at 313-279-1494. That's www.justjamene.com.
Do you know a youth in need of a place to live? Have you always wanted to make a difference in the city of Detroit, but not known how? The answer to both of these questions is Covenant House, Michigan. Covenant House is a youth homeless shelter serving 18 to 24-year-olds in the city of Detroit with education, resources, job preparation, and so much more. If you'd like to learn more about these programs, please call 313-463-2000 or look us up on the web at www.covenanthousemi.org.
This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion. This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio.
This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
kept here.
Now I'm going to introduce my guest for tonight, Miss Jackie Showers. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you doing?
Okay. I'm fine. How are you?
Well,
now,
I'm
can you
great.
Tell us? I'm sorry?
Yes, I said I'm doing great.
Okay. Can you give us a little bit of background of who you are and how you got into this business?
Okay. Well, I started out years ago. My background is in marketing and public relations, and so I have substantial years in that genre. And so after, I guess, being in there, being like a nonprofit management, where I headed up, a nonprofit in Washington, D.C. called Capital Press Club, the oldest African-American communications organization in the country. And then after coming here, I headed up a nonprofit, Pittman Memorial Non-Housing Development. And in addition to that, 10 years ago, I was working with the census, and I was charged with mobilizing the faith-based community in order to educate the community about the importance of the census and why we should fill out our census forms. And we know that's right up on us again. And I just want to take a step back into my past and say, for those of you who don't think you need to fill out that census, you really do. It's all about money and it's all about power. And if we lose any more geographic than a redistrict, we'll lose money and we'll lose power. So definitely.
So where do you stand on that citizenship question that President Trump wanted to put on?
Well, you know, the way I look at it is I think it's an infringement of privacy. And one of the things about the census, it is so confidential that even if President Trump would come and say, I want all of Virginia's information. And every census form she had filled out for like the last few decades, he cannot get them because your census information is kept private for 70 years. And so he can't get them. You know, to think that he's saying, oh, put this citizenship on there. Why? Because what the census does really, the census count people. They have the census used to be a really long form, and then now they've really truncated the form where it's only about 10 questions, and they started that 10 years ago in the last 2010 census, with only about 10 questions, and all you have to do is answer those 10 questions, and you don't have to answer the long, drawn-out census that it used to be. And because our world is changing so fast, and before, things didn't change that fast. And now we're really evolving pretty swiftly. They have other data collecting mechanisms in order to collect a lot of the data when it comes to, you know, how we live, how we work, how we play, how we worship. But when it comes to the census, it's there to really count you. And that's what it's about. It's about counting the people in the United States. They use the data from the census in order for them to begin to decide where monies are allocated and where power is allocated. So to give you an idea, let's say, for instance, and we'll take Detroit since we're here in Detroit, and you have a block, and at one point there were, let's say, 30 houses on that block. And all of a sudden, now there are only two houses on that block. Two houses, and let's say those two houses have four people that live there. Well, for every person that's counted in the census, that's $2,500 allocated to services just from the federal government that goes into that community. For every house that's gone, that's money gone. But not only money, it's also the power aspect of it is there are no longer the people there to count. So our census numbers go down. And that's why I think right after the 2010 census, I read an article about Detroit, and it was saying the shrinking city, that we went from like about 1.3 to 1.5 million people to like about a little over 800,000 people. But people don't realize when they burn up the houses, when they tear it out and they destroy the houses, and there's no one to move in the houses, and all of a sudden you look up and say, well, what happened to our services? Why is our bus service so terrible? Why are all of our services so bad? And everything begins with the census. And people don't realize the power of the census. And I just want to share this with you, Virginia, for the listening audience, is that, say, for instance, your everything burned down in your house. You had no way, your license, your Social Security card, everything. The only place that you really can go is to the census. If you have filled out your census form in order to get back everything, that in order to get back your license, you can go. You can commission to get your own census form, and that will get you back to building up, getting your license, getting your Social Security card. And people don't, so there's a lot of things people don't understand about the census and why it is important. So it's important that we don't say, okay, we're going to count and say, rather you're a citizen, because what that will do is it will prevent people from filling out the census form, because they will think that they will be extradited from this country. And the census is not about deciding who should live here or who shouldn't live here. It is about counting people in order for us to get monies allocated into our area for services, and then also for the power. So when they hand all this information over to the president in December, what it's going to do is that's when they're going to draw the line. So if you have not filled out your census, and all of a sudden you say, well, what happened? This person, we went from having maybe two Congress people represent us in this area, or even three, and now we don't have that, and somebody's representing me that's really not in this area because they redraw the line. So when the redistricting happens, that's when it also impacts us. So it's about money and it's about power.
Right.
And as we are told to adhere to the laws of the land. And that means
Continue
your census.
Well, you broke that down really succinctly, I might add. That was very good. I think that you told me something I didn't know, in case you were talking about the fire and you could go and get the census and get your things redone. So I didn't know that. But I worked with the census 1 year myself. So I know what you're talking about. It used to be a longer form. But anyway, tonight we're talking about starting a small business. And like I was saying in the beginning, you have to do your research. Well, you know, first of all, you have to make a plan. And then you have to plan your finances. And there, some say that you should build up at least 6 months of savings for expenses. Well, I don't know what kind of job that 6 months will help you in starting a small business. I don't know. Because you would have to have 6 months is not, to me, that's my opinion. It's not. It wouldn't be a lot of money if you're trying to start a business. But you can also apply for a small business loan.
Right.
You know, look for small business grants and any kind of other local funding opportunities. You can do that. You can pick and register your business name. You can get licenses and permits. You can find out about potential investors. You have to do your research. And first of all, you have to ask yourself, is there a need for your anticipated products or services? And then who needs it? Are there other companies offering similar products and services now? And then the most important thing, I think, is setting up your business location. Now, I've always heard that it's location, location, location. It's very important. And so is promoting your business. If you don't have the right location, though, and people don't support you, you're bound to fail. But you have to make sure, and that's a part of doing your research, you have to make sure that the area you're going in needs whatever you're trying to offer. And what makes your service or product so much different than Jane's two doors down? So that was just some of the things that I took away in attempting to start a small business. What say you?
Well, you know, I think when you're looking to start a small business, number one, I would tell people to pray, because you want to make sure that you have been given this business, you know, by God, telling you exactly what to do. And I think we all go back to the scripture where it talks about write the vision and make the plan, so they that run can read it. But the first person is going to read that, your ideal about your business is going to be you.
Right.
And so once you sort of choose the idea, you get an ideal, and you say, okay, this is what I want to do. Is you have to decide, you know, okay, what type of business do I want to start? One way is to always look at what are the things that interest you. Sometimes it's going to be you may have been doing something for years, and you realize that you really have the acumen to start that business. But what I want to say is always, always, always count the cost. Look at everything that's associated with whether or not you should start the business. Develop your pros and cons list to say, you know, should I start the business, should I not? I know that they say that you should have 6 months of income before you start your business. And one of the
things
that I
have come to do, I'm sorry, repeat that.
That you should have.
You said 6 months.
Right.
And that's what I was saying, but it depends. It would depend on where you're working. 6 months of expense of savings.
It also depends on your due diligence. And the reason I say that is I'm talking with business owners every single day. Every single day. Some of them are just starting. Some of them may have zero sales. Some of them are up in the higher millions, even billion-dollar business owners. Every day I'm talking to them. And one of the things that I find interesting is how each person sort of got into the business. But one prevailing message that I do hear is those that say, you know, I started a business with nothing. They had nothing. They had absolutely nothing. But they had an earnest effort in order to make their business successful. So you have to be diligent. You have to be diligent in what you set your mind to. So whatever it is that you set your mind to, you have to say, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going for it. I'm going for the gusto. And just like you work your job every single day, you have to get up with the determination that there's no one to say you got to work there at this job. And in many instances, you may not have a paycheck. However, if this is what you feel, that you've been led into entrepreneurship, then what you need to do is you got to be mentally ready. Because sometimes you can have the money, but you're not mentally ready to be an entrepreneur. And I think it's more mental. It's more mental acumen, just as much as even more so than money. I was talking to someone, they were saying, someone told me, said, this person has a very interesting story. And when they started telling me the story about how they started their business, it's funny because I was like, that's not that interesting. But then when they begin to get into it and they begin to say how they started out, they had come over here to America, they started out, they had nothing, and they got a job, and then they decided, I'm going to do my own business. But they really didn't have money to start a business. However, they decided to start their business. They said one of the things that they did use credit. And I do find that there are those who say they use credit. So while you are even thinking about a business, when you are, or you may not be thinking about a business, I do want to say having good credit is an asset, because you may not have 6 months of income, but if you have good credit, then you're able to leverage that good credit, and that's going to help you in building your business. But you also have to be wise in how you manage your affairs. The Bible tells us that we are to manage our affairs with discretion. In essence, we are to be good stewards over what God has given us. So one of the things he said, what we did, regardless, every month we paid our credit card. Every month. He said, even if we could only pay the minimum, we did it every month because they were building a good credit history. And I've heard this from more than one person who started their business from scratch. And he said eventually, because we were working the business every day, he said he and his wife was working the business. When they had a child, what they did was the child's playground was virtually their business because they couldn't afford to really have to have someone to take care of the child. But they were determined. They went there every single day determined to work their business. Now, some of you may have, say, I have an idea for a business, but I can't quit my job just yet. Then this is what I want to tell you. Then what you're going to do is every single day, don't give that job more than you're giving your business. So every single day, you want to make sure that you are doing something towards the furthering of your business every single day. So when you leave the job, you come home, you work your business. You may set up to have a business appointment in the evening, but you have to be committed to it. And you have to say, you know what? No matter what, this is what I'm going to do. So more than anything, you've got to have diligence. So in the process that you have in this diligence, because the Bible tells us, and people ask us, I relate a lot to the Bible because I feel like it's the best business book that you could ever read. But the Bible tells us in Proverbs, the 10th chapter, our diligent hands make us rich. That's Proverbs 10 and 4. And I believe when you drop down to about Proverbs 10 and 13, it says the blessing of the Lord makes us rich and take the toll out of it. So if you're looking to start a business and you haven't included God in your business, you're going to experience a lot of toll to it. But once you put God into the business, God begin to reveal to you things that you need to do. But you always got to count the cost. In Luke, the 16th chapter, it talks about don't start something and then you realize halfway, I can't finish it. And it said people will laugh at you. So you want to count the cost. You want to make sure that you come up with a strategy, that you come up with a plan of action in order to start your business. If you're working for another company, what you want to do is you want to even develop what I would call an exit plan from that company in order for you to begin to work full-time in your business. But you should always keep in mind, and so you should have an exit plan. The other thing you need to keep in mind, if you're still working for somebody else and you're thinking about starting a business, or maybe you're not thinking about starting a business, you want to start looking at yourself as a business because you are a business. You are a business, and in essence, what you did, you marketed your skills, you marketed your talents to an employer who hired you as an employee. But you are no different than somebody who's a contractual employee because you are Me Incorporated, and you have to start looking at yourself as Me Incorporated in order to shift from the employer mindset to from an employee mindset into an entrepreneur mindset. Because when you shift, you begin to realize as an entrepreneur, you may have to do everything. As an employee, you may not. But if you begin to look at yourself as I am Me Incorporated, and part of me being Me Incorporated is that when I go sit at a table, you go into an interview and you say, well, it's not time yet, keep this in mind, that you are no different than a salesperson from a company or an entrepreneur from a company who says, I'm going to meet with that company in order to get them to buy my skills, my talents, or my product. And that's, in essence, what you're doing. So it's shifting your mindset to begin to think like an employer thinks and not like an employee thinks. An employer is always looking at the big picture of things. They're not just very myopic. So you got to plan your business. You have to know. Do I need sales and marketing? Do I need people? And you have to plan it along the way so you know where are the milestones in order for you to begin your business. Once you decide, okay, I want to be in business, you want to form your own business. You want to go to the IRS. You have to get your tax ID number. If wherever your state or the locality is, you need to go and register your company in order for your company to be viewed as a legitimate company. Because in order for you to open up any type of bank accounts or anything like that, you are going to have to be able to, you're going to have a registered company, even if it is a sole proprietor. You still will have to register your company. And I'm going through this, and I'm not going deep into the details. You have to decide whether or not you're going to have an umbrella company. An umbrella company is basically, let's say you have ABC company, but then you say, but I have ABC company, but I have a few other companies that's DBAs, that's doing business as. So you have to decide, is this what I want to do? You want to file the trade name of your company. You need to check and see. Research to find out if anyone else has that name of that company. And in the process of researching, if you find out they don't, go and register your trade name with the patent and trade offices of the United States. So you'll want to do that. The other thing you want to learn as much as you can about starting a business. You could always go to places like the SBA, the Small Business Administration. You can go to the Small Business Development Agency that's here in Michigan. They probably have something that's similar in other locales. You also want to identify associations that's related to your business. Get involved in them. Get involved with your local chamber, because this is the way you're going to start networking. Networking is important. I think one of the mistakes that small businesses make is that they say, well, you know what, I can't network, I don't have time, I got to work my business. Well, let me tell you, networking is a key component of your business. That's why you're going to join organizations. That's why you have to make time. You may not go out every night to an event, but just say once a week I'm going to identify an event that I think is going to be worthwhile in helping me to meet people in order to market and promote my business. So you have to come up with that strategy. So when you go to the IRS, you're going to get your federal employee identification number. Then once you get that, what you're going to do, you're going to go to the state of Michigan in order for you to incorporate your business with Michigan. And I think it costs like about $25, so it's not a lot of money. Sometimes people do research on the internet. You'll find these companies that say, we'll register your company for $600. Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. Can I tell you that? Don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. All it's going to cost is really about $25 for you to register your business.
Oh,
you
wow.
You can find things out there that will help you in doing that for free. But just do the research. Do your due diligence in uncovering ways that you can get things established. Once you do that, you want to establish you a checking account. You want to open up a bank account to establish your business. And oftentimes, if your credit is pretty good, that company will give you a business credit card. So it's up to you. Like I said, your credit is a lifeline to starting your business, but you also have to manage it well. You want to also start setting up your accounting. And you know, one thing about QuickBooks will allow you to start for free, but they have different levels where you don't have to go out and buy all this software, but they have different levels that you can start in order to start your business. And that way you can know exactly what's coming in and what's going out. And you may not be able to pay a bookkeeper right away, but once you're able to get a bookkeeper, I want to say this, because a lot of people say, I've got to get an accountant. When you are starting out, you're a small business, you don't need an accountant. An accountant is going to cost you more money. Find you a good, cost-efficient bookkeeper. And when you find a good, cost-efficient bookkeeper, that person will help you stay on track. And that may be down the line, but if you can't afford the bookkeeper yet, go to QuickBooks. QuickBooks have everything set up, and all you have to do is pay a monthly fee for the license. if whatever you're starting your business in, if it requires any licenses or permits, then what you want to do, you're going to have to make sure that you have all of those in order. Let's say you want to be an electrician, then you need to get those permits and those licenses and those licenses for that, a plumber. So you have to know that respective field, and you have to know what is required in order for you to comply with federal, state, and local government regulations. So those are some of the things you would have to do. Say if you always say, I want a restaurant, then you'll need health permits, building permits, signage permits. You say, well, I'm going to do a construction company. You're going to need bonding insurance. You're going to need license as a contractor. But you have to do your due diligence so you can know exactly what type of permits and licenses do I need in order for me to have this company. Now, one thing about going into a construction company or a certain field, it is required that you are bonded or you have insurance. But most companies should have some type of insurance. And you will also have to look at the state in reference to, like, workers' compensation insurance, professional liability insurance. So you, all of these different things, you have to research it to find out what am I going to need in order for this company to be successful, in order for me to take it to the next level. And so, and you'll just do your due diligence. So even
okay.
If you're a home-based business, yes.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Right.
You'll save a lot of on all that other stuff.
That's right, because, see, it used to be that when you say, I work out of my home, I'm a consultant, people just look like they don't have a job. But with technology and technology being as such, it has totally changed the playing field when it comes to working at home. You're seeing more companies themselves allowing people to work from home, and they don't have to take that long commute. But because
right.
home-based businesses, like some people say, oh, well, they're a home-based business, they're not a real business. Well, let me just share this with you. There are companies that I talk to all the time that are home-based businesses, and they are making millions of dollars every
wow.
year as a home-based business. So if someone tells you you're not a legitimate business, you just need to tell them, say, you know what, you have no idea what you're talking about. Because I know home-based businesses, and they are making over millions of dollars a year as a home-based business, and they only work out of their home. Because sometimes you don't need to have an office because you're always having to go to other people's offices in order to fulfill the requirements of your business. But working from home is considered a legitimate business. Now, this is what's interesting. And I heard this the other week, and somebody was saying, you know, Michigan doesn't feel that if you're a home-based business, you're a real business. I thought Michigan's going to have to come into the 21st century because too many people are working from home and too many people are making mega money working from home. But you also have to have discipline. You have to have the discipline to know I got to get up every single day and I got to do this. I can't wait for somebody to tell me to do it. You have to learn how to say no. Act like a 2-year-old and just say no. Because there are people, there are families and there are friends that think, oh, they're working from home. Let me call them to do this. Let me call them to tell
right.
me to do this. No,
right.
You are at work, and so you have to set your boundaries, because if you don't set your boundaries, then people will automatically think that they can infringe on your time, and then they can make their perceived emergencies become your emergencies. That is nothing but a distraction to take you off your game. Recognize them for what they are, and then don't be taken off your game. There are people, they're always in emergency mode. And when you realize that, then what you want to do is you want to recognize, okay, is this really an emergency or not? And yes, there are emergencies that come up, but everybody else's emergency is not yours. Don't take it on. And sometimes you have to ask yourself, why would somebody come and say, oh, I'm crying wolf, I run? You have to say, you have to deal with that right then. And you have to say, am I afraid of really doing this business? So I allow every distraction to take me off course. And it's a legitimate question that you have to ask yourself. Because fear is real. Fear is real. And so when you begin to understand it's real because it's false evidence appearing real, but it's real from the perspective of the person. And the person has to begin to deal with that fear. And when you start a business, there is always a certain amount of trepidation. There's always a certain amount of fear associated with starting your own business. Don't let anyone tell you anything otherwise. It is. Because you're stepping out into the unknown. And when you step out into the unknown, you automatically say, can I make it? It's no difference when Peter stepped out of that boat and decided to walk on water. When you decide that you're going to start your own business, you know, Virginia, that's what it is. You basically stepping out of a boat and say, I'm going to walk on this water. And if you keep your eyes and keep the Lord a part of it and stay grounded, you won't sink. And that's
what you
have to understand. And then the other thing, understand your capacity. Understand, do I have the capacity in order for me to service a larger company? The Bible tells us in Zechariah, it says, do not despise the days of small beginnings.
That's right. That's right.
And I want to tell you about what happens in the days of your small beginnings. That's when you're going to make your mistakes. That's when you're going to learn how to really operate your business. So then when opportunity meets preparation, you're in a preparatory state. And so when the opportunity meets the preparation, you're ready. You made your mistakes. You stayed maybe at a small place, but all of a sudden the opportunity meets. I was talking to someone the other day, and we were talking about that very thing. And one of the things that they were sharing with me, and they said, someone told me you were lucky. It had nothing to do with luck. It had to
do
with preparation. And when the opportunity came, I was right there. In order for me to take advantage of the opportunity, I was prepared to fulfill that assignment. See, a lot of times what people do, they say, I have a silent investor. My silent investor is called the Michigan Minority Supply Development Council. And what I do there is I certify minority businesses in order for them to become suppliers to our corporate members. Some of our corporate members are like Ford, General Motors, DTE. So these are some of our corporate members. But what I do, I walk people through the entire certification process in order for them to become certified. But one of the things that I've seen is that a lot of times people don't do their due diligence. Or they'll come and say, well, I want to work with a Target. I want to work with a Walmart. My first question to them is, but do you have the capacity that if a Walmart or a Target tells you within 5 days I need you to deliver me 100,000 products, do you have that capacity to do it? And so some will say, yes, I do. It's like, no, you don't. So why go out on a limb? Again, you did not count the cost. You were not able to deliver. You were not able to fulfill the assignment, and then people laugh at you. And that's in Luke, the 14th chapter. And it says,
I have a question. If someone, if Walmart asks you that, I'm sure you're going to try your best to give them the amount that they ask you for. So you think that that's not realistic if you tell them, oh, yes, I can do that? Should a person just tell them, I wouldn't be able to do that?
What
do you think they should be able to tell them the truth?
I think number one, you should be able to tell them the truth. But number two, you need to be truthful to yourself even before you go to Walmart.
Okay.
Because you know rather.
So you already know that you wouldn't be able to do that if they ask.
So what
you
do is, during the days of small beginnings, you are building up your clientele by maybe working with mom and pop shops. So you're building up a portfolio of individuals. You're building up your ability in order for you to say, my goal is I want to service, I want to be a supplier to Walmart. But that may be your goal, but it may not be what's going to happen right now. So you have to start building. That's why it says despise not the days of small beginnings. That's
right.
Where you're going to make mistakes. And unless you have a pretty large bank account, the likelihood that you'll be able to service a Walmart right out the bat, you also have to think about, okay, if I'm saying I'm going to service a Walmart, they're going to say, well, are you the manufacturer of your product? Where are you getting your product? You have to have a sourcing company. You have to have all these different things in place in order for you to service a Walmart. And right now, we're all about made in America. So people are saying, well, I'll go to China. But you also realize that in this particular administration, they're increasing the tariffs. So that means that all of a sudden what's something that may not have cost you much, just the tariffs alone, you may not be able to afford. So you have to think, it's looking at the whole big picture. The other thing that you have to think about is what is my brand? What is my brand? Because any company, the strongest and most memorable businesses, they are built on a solid brand. So what is my brand? Now, I want to share with you, when you look at the brand, when you see Coca-Cola, Pepsi, you say solid brand. Those are solid brands, open, solid brand. Because you have to begin to think about what is going to be my branding, what is going to be my core values. What's the core values that's going to drive my company? How am I going to look? How professional do I want my company to look? So you have to begin to say, do I just make me this stupid logo or and say, hey, this is me. That's years ago I met this guy, and I remember my buddy and I, we met him. And he had this magazine, and he said, I remember this magazine, and it was called Siri Something. He said, this is going to be a famous magazine. He said, my daughter, she put this magazine together. Well, the magazine was made of construction paper. Yeah, we remember it. We remember it said, don't ever do this. Don't ever do this. And then he was saying how great the magazine is. So if you put together your brand and your brand is subpar, that's what people are going to remember, a subpar brand. With technology and with all of the other things out there, they have Fiverr.com, they have Upwork, they have a number of these places where you can go and pay somebody little to nothing. Fiverr.com, you can get somebody to put you together a logo for like $5. You can get somebody for less than $100 to put you together a whole brand package. So there's no reason for you to look like you're a mammy-made company. You can have a professional look and a professional edge to your company, but it has to do with your branding, and it has to do with, you know, your logo. What message am I sending? And you have to spend time in doing this. It's not something that you're just going to do overnight. It is something that's forever evolving. It's evolutionary, your brand. And so you have to be committed to saying, you know, what is my brand? Who are my companies going to be? The customers and clients that are looking for companies, that have a compelling brand. And that's what you want to do. You want to have a compelling brand. You want it to be that when people look at your company, they say, I need their services, regardless of how small or large you are. But they look at your company, your brand is tight, your message is tight. That means that you have to look at every collateral piece, every communication piece that you have, from your business card to your promotional material to any letterhead that you use, to your website. What is your web presence going to be? Are you just going to...
Okay, I have a question for you. The caller has a question. Caller, your question or comment?
Well, I have a comment. I'm enjoying listening to her, although my reception isn't that good, but I am just enjoying listening to her. But it made me think of Tyler Perry when he said he started trying to get his plays and things on and sitcoms on television, on cable. He went to this one cable, and you were saying you have to be ready in all areas, which, you know, it brought Tyler Perry back to my mind. And he said this, when he went to this, you know, the Browns and Meet the Browns and the Paints and all of this, he said they asked him how much did he have. He said he had 9 programs already for television. And that was the thing that made them put him on, because he had it ready. I remember Bishop Diggs was saying when the for the fishermen, when Christ called the fishermen, Peter and, you know, all of the James and John, you cannot be say that you're ready to catch men if your nets are, if you're trying to still repair your nets. You have to have everything ready. It brought, then listening to you, it's really interesting and inspiring. You have to have stuff ready. Are you ready to present your product, you know, and to talk about it in a positive manner where it will be acceptable? And it was so interesting. I really enjoyed just listening to you. I have to try to put what you want to leave behind, you know, or whatever. Yeah. Have it in readiness. If they say get up there now and tap dance or whatever you want to do, you're able to do that and more. Well, it is acceptable. They don't have to. Beg your pardon?
I will say, what is your name and where are you from?
Oh, my name is Lucy. I'm right here from the city of Detroit.
Okay.
And one thing I wanted to ask you, our mayor is giving out money, some program they have going. I see it on television, that where he's giving these small businesses so much money when they show progress, you know. This one woman, I think she was trying to she had this building that she was trying to convert. I think she wanted to make it a special restaurant or something. And so with so much money was allotted to her by way of our mayor. And then this other person that, you know, that came on. I can't remember what the program is. I just saw it in passing on television. But he seems like he's trying to build up businesses. Go ahead.
And you know, it's not just him. I know that DTE is, they're really working in order to work with different businesses. And they're going to every place in the neighborhoods, from faith-based communities to nonprofits to businesses, trying to identify, especially minority businesses and women-owned businesses.
Yes, I see that,
Right, because they're looking to say, okay, this is our service area. We need to make sure that our service area, these small to medium-sized businesses, that they are getting a piece of the pie. However, if you're not out there, you're not going to know what the piece of the pie is. And if you're not prepared, I have this friend of mine, and she's also a VP, and she has a very unique business. And she was able to get money and get some mentoring from Motor City Match. The Motor City Match will match you up with companies, and they also have products and services that help small businesses grow their businesses, develop a business plan. But if you're never engaged, if you're never out there and seeing, okay, who's out here, who's willing to help me, those are the things that you can do. Some people say, well, I can't go to some of these activities because they cost so much. Well, I want to tell you, and I'll talk about the organization that I work for, the Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council. Whenever we have activities, we have a golf tournament coming up. We're always looking for volunteers, people that will volunteer to help out. So that way, even if you're a business owner, a small business owner, you get a chance to talk to some large companies, both from a corporate standpoint as well as from a minority business enterprise. But it's about putting yourself out there. And, you know, one of the things Tyler Perry said, he didn't give up. He never gave up.
He never gave up.
He said the times that he looked out there and he had spent every dime he had, and he looked out there and there were 10 people and they were family members. He said, but one day he looked out there and the crowd was wrapped around the block. So you have people in your corner. If you have the they says in your corner, they says are negative people telling you that you won't make it, you need to cut them loose. You need to just say clip, cut them loose. You don't need to hear that. You got to surround yourself with people of like-mindedness. Because when you surround yourself with people of like-mindedness, you're going to be able to encourage yourself. You should seek out a mentor. somebody who will mentor you along when it comes to a business. Identify a business that you may say, oh, I've really been admiring that person. Identify that company and say, I'm going to call them and set a meeting in order to see if they will, you know, mentor me. You don't have to say mentor me, but you just start engaging them in conversation. But whenever you set a meeting, be ready. Make sure you know the questions that you're going to ask. You always have to be prepared, and you always have to be ready. And oftentimes in the faith-based community, people just think things fall from the sky. It does not. It does not just drop from the sky, any penny. It is called preparation. It is called being prepared. Why do you think Jesus told us the parable about the 10 virgins? The wise virgins were prepared. So when the gate opened up, they were prepared to go in. The unwise virgins were not. They were not prepared. So he's saying that we are to prepare all the time. And we're always to have strategies. We always have to have strategies in order for us to go to the next level. If you don't have a strategic plan, you need to get to a strategic plan. If you don't have a business plan, you need to develop a business plan. And as I said, the Small Business Administration, a lot of that stuff is free. If you say, well, I just can't get there, let me tell you, we live in an age that's awesome. All you have to do is go up on the Internet. Go up on the Internet, search it out. Believe me, YouTube, that somebody up here is teaching it. And the SBA score and all of them, they have a number of videos and tutoring materials and teaching materials that are free. They are free. So there really isn't an excuse for anybody. And the other thing I want to talk about, I do a lot of faith-based ministry. That's what a lot of what I do. I teach people how to become all God envisioned so they can experience what God saw, spiritual abundance, wholeness, and love. I'm coming out with 3 books. One is Prayers for Success, Igniting the World to Achieve Success. These are daily prayers for marketplace influencers. Affirmations for Success, Affirmations for Marketplace Influencers. And then also I Decided, Moving from Resolution to Execution. And it's moving from writing down resolution after resolution, but you never become an executor. And so we have to always think about those things. So if you go to my website, JackieShowers.org, you can also go to themeplace.org, and these are 2 different websites. And then also, and if you go to JackieShowers.org or .com, you'll be able to connect to the books that we're publishing. But that's what it's about. It is about us coming out of the 4 walls of church into the lawlessness of the marketplace in order for us to be equipped and empowered to do what God is calling us to do in this season. And he's calling us out because we get so entrapped and there's so many people that's in the pews trying to figure out what is my calling. Your calling is not behind that pulpit. Your calling is in the marketplace. And many of them are called to be entrepreneurs. But a lot of times people aren't teaching that. And we need to teach it to our children. Look at becoming an entrepreneur. I was talking to someone today and they were sharing with me about this woman, and it was a mutual person that I knew of through him because I went on a site visit. And he began to tell me the wealth of this woman. And I was like, whoa. I said, this is amazing. But yet and still, you meet her, unless she says something, you have no idea. But she made a decision at some point that I'm going to have businesses. And in the process of, she didn't say I'm going to have a business. She said I'm going to have businesses. You know, when I think of Oprah Winfrey got her start because she was going up to get a new contract. She talked to Bill Cosby. And for whatever Bill Cosby done, he's done some major good as well. And she asked him, how much should I ask them for a salary? And Bill Cosby said, you need to own it. Tell them you want to own your name. You want to own your brand. That's how Oprah really got started. And she decided, well, look at Oprah today. What if she had not heeded the advice of Bill Cosby because she was afraid? And it opened up many doors. And not only for her, you look at the other people that she's opened up some platforms for.
Yeah, Dr. Phil, yeah, one is one, yeah.
And so as a result, those are the things that you begin to see, and you begin to realize. When we begin to teach our children, and I talk about the African-American community because, one, I'm African-American, and two, I think we need to begin to teach our children to be business owners. They don't have to work for somebody all their lives. I'm seeing multi-million dollar billionaire African-Americans all the time. So I know it's doable, but we have to begin to put it into our children's psyche at a very young age that they can become these entrepreneurs. And it's about taking a chance. I talked to this one guy, and he was, as we were sitting there talking, and he said, I remember when I couldn't buy a roll of toilet paper. But he was willing to take a chance when someone laid out and said, I was thinking about this business, and I think you need to take advantage of it. He said, but I was also ready. And he said, and I stepped out and did it. We suddenly came with another business opportunity. You cannot be afraid to take the risk. It's all about
right.
The risk taking.
That's true.
Stepping out and taking that risk. And you can't be afraid to take the risk. You know, Thomas Edison, they asked him, they said, how is it you didn't get discouraged? And I'm paraphrasing. And you were doing it. You failed 10,000 times. He said, I didn't fail 10,000 times. I just found 10,000 times that didn't work until he got to where it worked and the light bulb went. So your
okay.
perspective of things have to change. But these are all the things that when you're looking to start a business, that's what you're looking for. I do coaching. When you go to themeplace.org, I am a coach. I'm a mentor coach, and I really do help people. And I do it from a holistic approach, because I deal with the person first. And sometimes I've had people come to me and I told them, we can't even begin to deal with the business because we have to deal with you so then you can embrace the business.
Well, it sounds good to me. And,
it sounds super.
So do
super,
you have
yeah.
another question? Yes.
No, I don't.
Do you?
No, I don't.
Okay. Thank you for calling
in. I'm overwhelmed. I'm feeling
I
good.
I know.
I feel more positive to get up and, you know, not this interest stopped me or that stopped me. All these excuses. Mm-hmm. No more excuses. Get up.
No more excuses.
In spite of everything.
You know,
yeah.
You have to get off of your butt of excuses, because when you sit on the
seat
of doing this, your butt of excuses wrap around and you get stuck.
Okay,
that is true.
We really have used a lot of time. I appreciate my guest, Ms. Jackie Showers.
Most definitely.
I think
yes.
you were excellent. What would you like to leave us with? You said so many things. I was trying to write, but I couldn't write that fast. So what would you like for us to take away from this session?
What I want you to understand is that God has placed so much inside of each and every one of us, so much capacity.
I know.
And whenever I think about it, and he says that the thought is for us to be successful here in the earth realm. And so he said the thoughts number more than all the sand on the earth. So if you live to be 100, you will never tap into all the great thoughts for success that God wants for you. But it begins with you just saying, I'm going to step out of the boat of fear, and I'm going to walk on the waters of faith. I'm going to defy that gravitational place of fear, false evidence appearing real. And then you have to say to yourself, if I'm facing this false evidence appearing real, now what? You have three things that you can do. You can face everything and remain, and you do nothing. You can face everything and you run away. Or you can say, I'm going to face everything and I'm going to rise to the top. I'm going to rise and become everything that God envisioned so I can experience what he saw. Spiritual abundance, wholeness, and blessing.
Okay. All right.
Tell me about it. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, this is a fan, has been a fantastic show. I thank you once again. My guest,
thank you so much for
thank you for Miss Lucy for your comments. And I thank those that called in to listen, and they didn't ask a question or make a comment, but they did listen. And I know they got something out of this because I know I did. Yes, yes. So this is the end of the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. And how do you start a small business? I know you've been given a lot of information, and I hope
I hope
that you were writing as well. So, Ms. Showers, can you give us a way to contact you?
Yes, you can go to my website. You can go to themeplace.org, where you can also go to jackieshowers.com. I'm also out on social media, so team up with me. It's the Showers Blessings, my Showers Blessing business page. On Facebook, I'm also on LinkedIn, and I'm on Pinterest as well. So I'm definitely out there. I took a hiatus because I'm focusing right now on getting my books out, and they should be out within about the next month to two months. And just connect with me, and then we're getting geared right back up to start sending out information via email. So make sure you become a subscriber to our email list, so then you'll be able to get. All the information that we will be sending out and the different things that we're doing in order to help people. And that's my whole goal. My whole goal as I look at myself as a spiritual midwife that help people birth into destiny and purpose.
All right. All right.
Well, thank you.
Yes. And I shall be talking to you again.
I would love for you to
come back on the show if you get an opportunity. So we'll talk.
If you invite me, I would be willing to come back. Mm-hmm.
We will talk. So thank you, and this is the end of the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. I would like to say before we go, you know, I always try to give you something positive. What you can do, there are three things you can do. You can give up, you can give in, or you can give it all you've got. So have a great weekend, and I'll see you next Friday. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.